April 17th. Today's reading from the Old Testament will be from the book of Joshua, chapter 15. Now, had the people chosen their inheritance, there no doubt would have been competition and conflict. But the Lord assigned the territory, and the tribes submitted to His will. Paul the Apostle asks, "Or who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive?" John the Baptist said, "A man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from heaven." Whenever you envy another's achievements or abilities, you are forgetting this basic spiritual principle. Whenever you complain to God because of what you are not, instead of praising Him for what you are, you need to listen again to Paul and John the Baptist. Now, this is not to suggest that you become complacent, no. Caleb fought courageously to claim his God-given inheritance. And so did Othniel, his son-in-law. Caleb's daughter had faith to ask for additional blessings, and she received them. God gives. God loves to give. He loves to give good gifts to His children. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see, we possess by faith. We must accept whatever inheritance He grants us. The people could rest on Psalm 47, verse 4, and the Levites on Psalm 16, 5. Are you happy with the perfect choices that God makes? Well, with that, let's check on what He did and what He assigned to each tribe as we read the Word of God in the Old Testament. April 17th, Joshua chapter 15, verses 1 through 63. The land assigned to the families of the tribe of Judah reached southward to the border of Edom, with the wilderness of Zin being its southernmost point. The southern boundary began at the south bay of the Dead Sea, ran south of Scorpion Pass into the wilderness of Zin, and went south of Kadesh Barnea to Hezron. Then it went up to Adar, where it turned toward Karka. From there, it passed to Asmon, until it finally reached the Brook of Egypt, which it followed to the Mediterranean Sea. This was their southern boundary. The eastern boundary extended along the Dead Sea to the mouth of the Jordan River. The northern boundary began at the bay, where the Jordan River empties into the Dead Sea, crossed to Beth Hogla, then proceeded north of Beth Haraba to the Stone of Bohan. Bohan was Reuben's son. From that point, it went through the Valley of Achor to Debir, turning north toward Gilgal, which is across from the slopes of Adumim on the south side of the valley. From there, the border extended to the springs at En Shemesh and on to En Rogel. The boundary then passed to the valley of the son of Hinnom, along the southern slopes of the Jebusites, where the city of Jerusalem is located. Then it went west to the top of the mountain above the valley of Hinnom, and on up to the northern end of the valley of Rephaim. From there, the border extended from the top of the mountain to the spring at the waters of Nephtoah, and from there to the towns on Mount Ephron. Then it turned toward Baalah, that is, Kiriath Jearim. The border circled west of Baalah to Mount Seir, passed along to the town of Kazalon on the northern slope of Mount Jearim, and went down to Beth Shemesh and on to Timnah. The boundary line then proceeded to the slope of the hill north of Ekron, where it turned toward Shikaron and Mount Baalah. It passed Jabneel and ended at the Mediterranean Sea. The western boundary was the shoreline of the Mediterranean Sea. These are the boundaries for the families of the tribe of Judah. The Lord instructed Joshua to assign some of Judah's territory to Caleb, son of Jephunneh. So Caleb was given the city of Arba, that is, Hebron, which had been named after Anak's ancestor. Caleb drove out the three Anakites, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, descendants of Anak. Then he fought against the people living in the town of Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer. Caleb said, "I will give my daughter Aksa in marriage to the one who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer." Othniel, the son of Caleb's brother Kenaz, was the one who conquered it. So Aksah became Othniel's wife. When Aksah married Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for an additional field. As she got down off her donkey, Caleb asked her, "What is it? What can I do for you?" She said, "Give me a further blessing. You've been kind enough to give me land in the Negev. Please give me springs as well." So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. This was the inheritance given to the families of the tribe of Judah. The towns of Judah situated along the borders of Edom in the extreme south are Kabzeel, Eder, Jager, Kina, Dimona, Adada, Kedesh, Hazor, Ithnan, Ziph, Telem, Bealoth, Hazer Hadata, Kiriath Hezron, that is Hazor, Amam, Shema, Molada, Hazer Gada, Heshmon, Beth Pelet, Hazar Shual, Beersheba, Bezeothia, Bahala, Lem, Aim, Ezam, Eltolad, Kizil, Horma, Ziklag, Madmana, Sanzana, Lebeoth, Shilhim, Ain, and Kimon. In all, there were 29 of these towns with their surrounding villages. The following towns, situated in the western foothills, were also given to Judah: Eshtaol, Zora, Ajna, Zenoa, Inganim, Tapua, Enam, Jarmuth, Adullam, Soko, Azekah, Shaaraim, Adithaim, Gedera, and Gederathaim. In all, there were 14 towns with their surrounding villages. Also included were Zenan, Hadashah, Migdal-Gad, Dilian, Mizpah, Jokthiel, Lachish, Bazkath, Eglon, Kebon, Lamam, Kitlish, Gedoroth, Beth-Dagon, Nahah, Naamah, and Makeda. 16 towns with their surrounding villages. Besides these, there were Libna, Ether, Ashan, Iftah, Ashna, Nezib, Kaila, Agzib, and Marashah. 9 towns with their surrounding villages. The territory of the tribe of Judah also included all the towns and villages of Ekron. From Ekron, the boundary extended west and included the towns near Ashdod with their surrounding villages. It also included Ashdod with its towns and villages and Gaza with its towns and villages, as far as the Brook of Egypt and along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Judah also received the following towns in the hill country: Shamir, Jatir, Soko, Dana, Kiriath Sana, that is Deber, Anab, Eshtema, Anim, Goshen, Holon, and Gilo, 11 towns with their surrounding villages. Also included were the towns of Arab, Duma, Ishan, Janim, Beth Tapua, Afeka, Humta, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, and Zior, 9 towns with their surrounding villages. Besides these, there were Maon, Carmel, Ziph, Juta, Jezreel, Jokdeam, Zenoa, Cain, Gilbia, and Timnah, 10 towns with their surrounding villages. In addition, there were Halhul, Beth-Zur, Gidor, Maharath, Beth-Anath, and El-Tekan, 6 towns with their surrounding villages. There were also Kiriath Baal, that is Kiriath Jeharim, and Rabbah, 2 towns with their surrounding villages. In the wilderness, there were the towns of Beth Haraba, Midin, Sekaka, Nibsham, the city of salt, and Engedi, 6 towns with their surrounding villages. But the tribe of Judah could not drive out the Jebusites, who lived in the city of Jerusalem. So the Jebusites live there among the people of Judah to this day. April 17th. We turn our attention now to the New Testament. Today we'll be reading in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 43. Here's what's going on there. We're hearing about ignorant prayer. I've prayed a few of those in my time. How about you? Although the young man had many good qualities, one of them was not spiritual understanding. He did not really see himself, Jesus, or the peril he was in because of his riches. The publican went away justified, while the young man went away sorrowful. What happens at the close of your prayers? Well, then we'll learn about persistent prayer. The blind man was not to be stopped. He had this great opportunity which was passing by him, and he would not let it pass. He heard his voice, and our Lord stopped. He looked and he listened, and then he healed. Jesus is not too busy to hear you. He is not too busy to stop for you. Just be sure that you are in earnest when you pray, and know what you want when he asks you, "What do you want me to do for you?" It was Oswald Chambers who said, "The revelation of our spiritual standing is what we ask in prayer. Sometimes what we ask is an insult, actually, to God. We ask with our eyes on the possibilities or on ourselves, not on Jesus Christ. Our prize is the Lord Jesus himself." And with that, let's begin today's reading in the New Testament. April 17th, Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 43. Once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, "Good teacher, what should I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "Only God is truly good. But as for your question, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not testify falsely, honor your father and mother." The man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was a child." "There is still one thing you lack," Jesus said. "Sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when the man heard this, he became sad because he was very rich. Jesus watched him go and then said to his disciples, "How hard it is for rich people to get into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this said, "Then who in the world can be saved?" He replied, "What is impossible from a human perspective is possible with God." Peter said, "We have left our homes and followed you." "Yes," Jesus replied, "and I assure you, everyone who has given up house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will be repaid many times over in this life, as well as receiving eternal life in the world to come." Gathering the 12 disciples around him, Jesus told them, "As you know, we are going to Jerusalem, and when we get there, all the predictions of the ancient prophets concerning the Son of Man will come true. He will be handed over to the Romans to be mocked, treated shamefully, and spit upon. They will whip him and kill him. But on the third day, he will rise again." But they didn't understand a thing he said. Its significance was hidden from them, and they failed to grasp what he was talking about. As they approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was going by. So he began shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" The crowds ahead of Jesus tried to hush the man, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. Then Jesus asked the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," he pleaded, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "All right, you can see. Your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus praising God, and all who saw it praised God too. Today we're reading Psalm 86. David is asking a few things of God, Basically, it comes down to this: preserve my life, unite my heart, strengthen my hand. David was in trouble again. As he always did, he turned to the Lord for help. And he presented some reasons why God should answer him. God was his God. It was very personal. And he was God's servant. God was merciful. He knew that. And David needed mercy, just like you and me. He wanted God alone to be glorified in the victory. God is good and great and ready to help, and David knew that. And then he prayed to have his heart united. See, a divided heart leads only to instability, because you cannot serve two masters. With a single heart, fear the Lord, learn from the Lord, obey the Lord, and praise his name. And then we'll hear that David prays for God to strengthen his hand. David's strength and experience were inadequate to face the foe. He needed the strength of the Lord. I mean, David knew his theology well, and that helped him in his praying. See, the better you know God, the better you can approach him with your needs. The better you can come confidently and boldly into the throne room. Psalm 86, verses 1 through 17, a prayer of David. Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer. Answer me, for I need your help. Protect me, for I am devoted to you. Save me, for I serve you and trust you. You are my God. Be merciful, O Lord, for I am calling on you constantly. Give me happiness, O Lord, for my life depends on you. O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask your aid. Listen closely to my prayer, O Lord. Hear my urgent cry. I will call to you whenever trouble strikes, and you will answer me. Nowhere among the pagan gods is there a God like you, O Lord. There are no other miracles like yours. All the nations, and you made each one, will come and bow before you, Lord. They will praise your great and holy name. For you are great and perform great miracles. You alone are God. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart, that I may honor you. With all my heart I will praise you, O Lord my God. I will give glory to your name forever, for your love for me is very great. You have rescued me from the depths of death. O God, insolent people rise up against me. Violent people are trying to kill me, and you mean nothing to them. But you, O Lord, are a merciful and gracious God, slow to get angry, full of unfailing love and truth. Look down and have mercy on me. Give strength to your servant. Yes, save me, for I am your servant. Send me a sign of your favor. Then those who hate me will be put to shame. For you, O Lord, help and comfort me. Proverbs 13, verses 9 and 10. The life of the godly is full of light and joy, but the sinner's light is snuffed out. Pride leads to arguments. Those who take advice are wise.